Copeland some. And what was it, Top Gun? Or it was some show. They said, kick the tires and light the fires. And I made the mistake of saying that around him. He looked at me and smile went away. He said, that ain't funny. That ain't funny. In other words, you don't just kick the tires, start the engines and go, right? You do a proper, thorough pre-flight. You walk around the plane. You look at everything. You check. He said, that ain't funny. I said, yes, sir, that's right. That ain't funny. Thank God for good instruction, good leaders, people that show you a good standard. Because there are a lot of folks that's too lax in those departments, and they helped us to tighten up, do better.
Ready upstairs, sir.
Okay, ready down here.
Let's have quiet on the set, please. And here we go. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God didn't make quitters.
That's right.
He didn't make weaklings, those destined to be conquered and defeated. He made overcomers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He made more than conquerors. And the scripture says the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. That's the key. Not just faith in ourselves, but faith in our God. Faith in our God, who by His grace, by His strength, we can do anything. So no matter what you've experienced, you may have experienced some failures and defeats, but they were not God ordained. It was not His perfect plan and will. And regardless of where you are, how long a problem's been that way, God is big. He's more than enough. He cares about you. If you'll listen to Him, He will lead you all the way out of depression, devastation, into victory, into abundance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Into freedom.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
He is a good God, and He has a good plan. Father, we believe in Your goodness. We are convinced You're a good God. And all these bad things and stealing and killing and destroying that's going on in the world, You said it was the thief who's doing that and behind that. We believe You, not people's confused religious ideas. We ask You for the utterance and anointing and grace and strength for today. And show us, Lord, the next steps in Your plan for us, and that we might be made strong on the solid foundation of Your word and Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Well, we've been on our series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, I know you say that, and people say, well, that can't be so. I mean, just look around. Lots of Christians are in lack. And they say that because they say, well, you know, if it was God's will for everybody to be well provided for, they'd be well provided for. Yeah, and you could say if it's God's will for everybody to be saved, they'd be saved. But is that true?
No.
It's not true. It's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says God's not willing that any should perish.
Yes.
And yet the Scripture is very clear. A lot of people are perishing without God. So things are happening that's not the will of God and not pleasing to God. Why? Because He made us with a true free will. We can choose to listen to Him or not, believe Him or not, obey Him or not. And the Bible said if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be consumed. You'll be destroyed. So it matters. You know, the Lord told His first covenant people, He said, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. And then told you which one to pick. He said, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. No, the choice is not God's. I've heard people say, you know, well, how can a God who is love send people to a hell, to a place of eternal torment? It's not His choice.
That's right.
It's our choice. Right. He gave that choice to us. So people can try to blame Him if they want to, but it's never going to work. Because the choice is mine. The choice is yours. He really did give us a free will. And I'm so glad by the grace of God, I've been able to choose Him. Hallelujah. Amen. To choose faith in Him.
Yes.
To choose submitting to His Lordship. To choose obeying and following Him. Seeking and finding and fulfilling His plan, His will for me.
Yes.
Now, if you've never done that, I don't want you to wait another 10 seconds. Make that commitment right now. Life is short. And heaven is real and hell is real. And the only way for eternal security to be yours is to receive Jesus as your Lord and commit to Him and follow Him. And so all you got to do, I mean, He's already done all the hard work. He became sin with our sin. He was judged in our place. He went to the heart of the earth. He rose from the dead. He's triumphed over all of it. He sat down at the right hand of majesty where He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's done all the hard work.
Amen.
All we have to do is believe it and receive it.
Amen.
And confess it. And so if you haven't done that, let me lead you right now. Affirm or reaffirm your faith. Say it out loud, Father God. I do believe in You.
I do believe
in You. I do believe in the gospel.
I do believe in the gospel.
Concerning Your Son,
Jesus,
that He went to the cross.
He
paid the full price
for all my sins
and failures.
But
You have raised Him from the dead. And He is alive right now. King of kings. Lord of lords,
Lord of lords,
soon to come again.
Jesus,
I confess You,
Lord of my
life.
I submit myself to You
and purpose to follow You
and trust in You
all my days.
Thank You
for saving me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. If you did that from your heart, the greatest miracle you will ever experience has happened for you. Hallelujah. If you did it in time past, but you came back today, hallelujah, happy day that you came back today. God has a good life planned for you, but you won't experience it if all you do is ignore Him and do your own thing. You'll go through all kind of tragedies and problems that He never intended for you to go through. No, come home, come to Him, stay with Him.
Amen.
And it'll be well with you. Oh, there'll be things to believe for, and there's an enemy and a devil down here to overcome, but by God's grace, you can overcome it all. And just keep winning and winning. He always causes me to triumph. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what we've been talking about is abundant provision being God's will. And like I said, giving one by one these 30 reasons. We started, number one, with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. And we're down all the way to number 15 in our study, and we're calling it provision in the wilderness. Now, the truth that we're emphasizing here and looking at is what God did for His people when He brought them out of slavery, out of a bondage to the Egyptians. You remember that if you read the scriptures, that Abraham had a covenant with God and was called the friend of God. And God told His covenant friend Abraham that his descendants would wind up being servants in a land that was not theirs 430 years. He told Abraham exactly how long it would be. And the scripture says that when He brought them out the night of the Passover, and that it was to the day 430 years from when God told him that. Is that amazing or that's amazing? Yes. That's God. And so when He brought them out, the psalmist said He brought them out with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now this is amongst hundreds of thousands of people, probably at least 1.5 million people. People who had been mistreated and malnourished and overworked as slaves. And yet, something very miraculous happened the night of the Passover when they placed the blood on the entry areas of their home. And when they got inside and they were dressed, ready to go, bags packed, and ate the body of the Lamb. All of this is graphic portrayal of Christ, our sacrifice, our Passover, hallelujah, sacrificed for us. And you'll notice in communion, there's not one thing, there's two things, right? There's the blood, there's the body, there's the cup, there's the bread. And that's exactly because it's patterned after Passover. Passover was a type of this. And so the blood protected them from being killed and destroyed by what swept through Egypt and killed the firstborn in every family. None of them were touched. They were protected. Can God still protect us today? Yes. Yes, He can and He does. But they also were to eat the body of the Lamb. And so when they all came out after that, the scripture said, not one feeble among them. So anybody that had been feeble and not able to travel was healed. Anybody that had been injured or beaten or, you know, bones broken that weren't healed up right or treated or whatever were healed, so that there was not one feeble. And they had money, yes, silver, amen, gold, ready to go. Yeah. Is that still God's will? Yes. That when you launch into following His plan and will for your life, you're not feeble, yes, you're healed, yes, and you got money? Yes. Huh? Yes. Well, you actually need these two things to serve God. Mm-hmm. If you're so sick and feeble you can't leave the house, how are you going to serve God like that? Well, if you got good health, but you don't have enough money to leave the driveway, how are you going to sit right? Either one of those things can limit you to the point of imprisoning you. Sick enough is like being in prison. Broke enough is like being in prison. Can't go anywhere, can't do anything. Never is this God's will. He brought them out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, He brought them out.
He brought them out.
He brought them out with silver and with gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now that's, you're talking about from 0 to 60, moving fast. That's from slave to healed, prosperous. Huh? In hours. Overnight. Whew. And it's just the beginning. You're on your way. I'm quoting scripture now. You're on your way to houses you didn't build.
Amen.
vineyards and orchards you didn't plant. Woo! Oh, somebody say glory to God. Houses full of all good things that you didn't shop and buy and place. You're just bringing your underwear and just moving in to a place fully furnished. They got to remember, last month you were a slave. You were somebody's property. Not only did you not own anything, you were owned. You didn't own yourself. Now, you're a free man. You're a free woman. You're healed. You got money. You got a house. You got a orchard and a vineyard and herds and flocks. You're an owner. God, the Lord took you from being owned to being an owner. From owing your servitude to owning. Would God still take you from owing to owning today? Huh? From broken to not feeble. From broke to having plenty. Is it His will? See, that's the thing people struggle with. And it's actually being foolish. It can be being spiritually lazy to just say, well, who knows? We don't know. Well, have you tried to find out? I could say some things, but just open the book, right? Yeah. Open the book. We're helping you right now. Yes. I've opened the book already and looked. And I'm telling you some reasons to get you started. Right. It is His will.
Amen.
Everybody said out loud, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision.
Is always
God's will for me. Now, just rehearsing the history of it a little bit, I was saying that to get to this point. When they got out of Egypt, the Lord took them through a barren place, through the wilderness. We would call it a desert. And in the desert, there was no food. There was no water. There was no place. There's no grocery stores. There was no places to shop or store places, or there was sand and scorpions and snakes and heat and cold at night. Nothing. Barren, nothing. And God provided there. Hallelujah. In that bleak, empty, barren, hot place. And He didn't just do it once or twice. He did it for decades. He could have done it for centuries.
Yes.
He could have done it for millennia.
Yes.
Because He's God. And He is the God who provides. I heard somebody mocking one time about Noah. And they said, you know, that's ridiculous that a human being survived inside a whale or a great fish or whatever it was. And they said, that's a fantasy. That's a myth. And they said, how, you know, because they couldn't understand how it could be. Well, these people would be the same. They wouldn't understand how God spoke the worlds into existence. Then they also wouldn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They wouldn't believe in His resurrection from the dead. These people are not believers. These people are not Christians. They're not saved. This is serious. If you believe in God, you believe in miracles.
Amen.
You can't separate one from the other. I like what one individual said. In the scripture said, the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, if you're okay with that verse, you won't have trouble with anything else. You're good for the rest of the book. Why? How did the heavens and earth get here? The Bible said God created it. How did He do it? Now, it's not magic. God could explain it to you. He could he could describe to you the science of it to the nth degree. It would probably go whoop right over your head. But it's not, there ain't no hocus pocus to it. It's just, do you understand what it takes to do it and how to do it and have the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, and the power to do it? He does. Amen. I said he does. Amen. But concerning Noah, the scripture said God prepared a great fish. Well, if God prepared it, you could live on the moon.
That's right?
Right? Yeah. If God prepared you a bubble, you could live anywhere in anything. And see, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, maybe normally a human being would not be able to live inside the digestive system of some great fish or whale. But if God prepares it, and that's what it said, he prepared a fish. This was a special prepped fish for Jonah. And and he was glad to get out of there. Because no matter how well prepared it is, it's still the inside of a fish. So, and he wasn't there because he had obeyed God. He was there because he had disobeyed God, running from God. But what we're saying is that God could prepare a place for you in the middle of anything. And you saw that in him delivering his people out of Egyptian bondage. You see that they were in what was called Goshen, that part of the country, the Hebrew people were. And when the plagues would sweep through the different parts of Egypt, they stopped, if you will, at the Goshen state line. It'd be like, you know, going from Texas to Oklahoma or something. I mean, and you know, you've seen state lines. It looks very similar here to what it does here, right? It's like if you didn't know there was a sign there, you would. But when those plagues came through, the frogs, the lice, the flies, whatever it was, even the darkness. Now, this would have been something to behold, right? It was pitch dark over here, but across the state line, the sun was shining bright. Someone says, that can't happen. How would you know? You've been alive this long, and you know this much. If you created light, huh? I reckon you know how to handle it, how to manipulate it. But you made it, right? You made it. And so God, what I'm saying, just like God prepared that fish, he put some kind, you know, long before Star Trek, God had force fields. Amen. Huh? Oh, yeah, he did. And he put Jonah in a bubble inside that thing. And so the digestive acids or whatever couldn't get to him and work to him. And he has enough oxygen and everything else. And in the land of Goshen, there was a bubble around it. And the plagues would come roaring through Egypt, killing everything, and boom, when it got to the land of Goshen. And you know, the Bible says this about Job, that the devil had been trying to get to him, had been around and around about. Said, God put a hedge.
That's right.
Remember that? Around everything he had, and the enemy couldn't get to him. Couldn't get to him until, you know, Job made some big mistakes. We won't get into that. But the scripture says, don't give any place to the devil and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So God has always been in the business of keeping his people with a protective bubble, if you will, a protective hedge, a protective force field. And within this protection is provision.
Yes.
Oh, can you say amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Lord. And so God was protecting his people as they came out of Egypt and they went into this terrible desert. He had this around them. He had his angels there. He had that pillar of fire and that cloud that was always there. Well, see, that's a manifestation of celestial power and beings. And you'll see that until they started complaining and griping, speaking against God, nobody had any issues with snakes or scorpions or any of that stuff. Why? You could have gone several miles outside the camp and found all that stuff, but not in the camp. Okay, and you see this? And within the camp, there is falling inside this bubble food. Manna. There's water inside this bubble. There's fresh quail inside this bubble. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Well, is God still able to keep his people today? Or he lost any of his power since then? Or has he changed what he wants to do since then? No, and he's no respecter of persons. And this is what we need to see. Why is this in the scriptures that we can read about how he provided for them so spectacularly in the wilderness? So that we are renewed and refreshed and go, hey, things might be challenging around here, but I'm not in a desert like that. God can take care of me too. And he will take care of me. I want to hear you say it out loud. My God is almighty, all wise. He is the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy with all those who love him. He will take care of me. No matter where I am, no matter what's going on, round about me, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Then that means you're going to eat good today.
Yes.
Huh? You're going to eat. Oh, that was too weak. I'm listening for you in the camera there. Say it out loud. I will. Always.
Always.
Eat well.
Eat well.
Dress well.
Dress well.
Travel well.
Travel well.
Live well.
Live well.
For my God.
For my God.
Is a good God.
Is a good God.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
He takes good care.
He takes good care.
Great care.
Great care.
Of me.
You
know, the scripture says in 1 Timothy that he gives us richly all things to enjoy. Jesus said in John 10, he said, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I have come. Now, this is Jesus himself telling you why he came. I am come, Amplified says, that you might have and live life to the full until it overflows. Have and enjoy life. Hallelujah. And live it to the full until it overflows. Does that sound like going hungry or being broke? You can't work that in there at all. Doesn't fit. Well, our time's up again today. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. I want to hear you say that again. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Well, there's much more to see about this. Come back tomorrow. We're going to get into more of it. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
We're clear.
Thank you, Lord.